genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Now, today's theme is new things. In the first half hour, we talked about new ways drugs are being transported worldwide. In this half hour, we're going to talk to an authority on the empowered consumer. My next guest understands consumer behavior, particularly the new consumer. He's an authority on business growth. He is the former U.S. chairman and CEO of Publicis Worldwide, a French multinational advertising and communications company. It's one of the big three global advertising holding companies. The other two are Omnicom and WPP. Publicis Group SA provides traditional advertising, media services, and specialized agency and marketing services to national and multinational companies. If you want to join the conversation with a true industry leader, you can call us at 639-0008, 639-0008. Robert H. Bloom is the former advertising and communications executive, now turned author. He ran the U.S. operations of Publicis. It's the centerpiece of a $4.6 billion global marketing services company. He helped craft and implement the growth strategies for some of the world's largest companies and brands, including, get this, BMW, L'Oreal, Nestle, Southwest Airlines, T-Mobile, and Novartis's two brands of Theraflu and TriMenic. His latest book is titled The New Experts, Win Today's Newly Empowered Customers at Their Four Decision Moments. Welcome to the show, Bob. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you, Billy. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. We're glad to have such an esteemed guest as yourself, especially talking about the new consumer, because this is something that is on the mind of every business owner, large and small, here in Ventura County. So right off the bat, you say today's marketplace is the most dangerous that business leaders have ever faced. Why do you say that?
I say that for two reasons. One is that most business leaders have not yet but come to understand that there is danger out there. So when you don't expect it, that is a particularly dangerous situation. And the second reason is that this is really the biggest transformation in the buyer-seller equation that has ever happened. And it's a monumental situation, and it is affecting and will affect every business of every kind.
Wow. I mean, those are big words. Now, you're saying that today as a consumer, and I'm just going to put on my consumer hat here for a minute, I'm armed with three what you call lethal weapons. Now, what are those three lethal weapons that make me such a dangerous consumer?
The first one is that you have total access to all information on the Internet instantly. If you think back at some time ago, if you wanted to know more about a particular model car, you had to go to the dealer to get the brochure. Now we all know that we pop on the email, the internet, and look at dozens of emails and get that information quickly. We are armed with an amazing amount of information. The second reason is that we have total choice in every category. There isn't a category that doesn't have competitors. So, frankly, Billy, if you don't sell me, I'll go to George or Sam or Sarah, and I'll buy from them. And finally, the ultimate weapon is price. And we have powerful apps now and powerful mobile devices, and we can check competitive prices as we are buying a product, so that the seller is totally vulnerable to my weapon, which gives me access to every piece of information about the product while I'm buying it. So I can leave that store or leave that vendor and buy from someone else instantly.
Wow, that's scary stuff. We're talking to Robert Blum, everybody, who is the former CEO and chairman of Publicis here in the United States. It's a large multinational advertising agency. We're talking about the new experts. That's us, folks, the consumer that's out there. Now, in your discussion, Bob, you just said that consumers are not brand loyal anymore. Whatever happened to brand loyalty, and will we ever see it come back?
Well, brand loyalty has been dying over a very long time. So that death at first obviously was slow, and then it became more rapid. To give you an example, 30 years ago, four out of five car buyers bought the same brand. Last year in 2009, one out of five bought the same brand. So that's clear evidence. I could go into a lot of other categories, but neither one of us have time, Billy. So that the idea is that brand loyalty has been dying, and now it is virtually dead. There is ample evidence in the marketplace to support that.
Very interesting. Bob, now I want to ask you, because in your book you say that word of mouth is the best form of advertising. In fact, you say it brings you the most profitable customers. Hasn't technology really sort of just acted as a megaphone to amplify word of mouth? And aren't the new consumers really, are they part of a revolution or are they part of a devolution back to when reputation and word of mouth advertising really mattered?
Well, technology has enabled these new experts. Let me just underscore one thing, Billy. Many people, many vendors, many sellers think that these new experts just young kids. They're you, as you said. They're me. They're everyone. There's your grandmother, your spouse, your kid. Everybody today is part of a new generation of new experts, and that generation is just going to get more and more powerful as the next generation comes, and they're going to be more and more agile with it, and they're going to be used to doing it. So they're going to pound the seller with those three things. And I would simply say to you that this idea of the loyalty has been lost, and the megaphone you used is an exact illustration, because now we have Twitter and
Facebook
and Facebook and every kind of device. And so what your mother or grandmother used to do is to lean over the back fence and tell somebody about a restaurant they'd been to or a store they'd been or a selling experience or buying experience they had that might have been good or bad. Now, you can do that on Facebook and reach millions of people all around the world. In truth, what this does is to put the seller in a glass house. And he or she, the seller, is living in this glass house because many buyers instantly go on their social network and share their buying experiences, good or bad, real or perceived.
Oh, that's great. I love the analogy, the glass house. I wrote that down. And I just want to remind the audience, because you are come from the advertising world, what is that famous David Ogilvy quotation about don't underestimate the consumer?
That's correct. Underestimate the consumer. You know, this goes all the way back. Of course, she is your wife.
Exactly.
Now we would say she is your spouse, of course, or he's your spouse. But you know, the experts, in my opinion, this is a perfect illustration, because these people, you, me, everyone, are experts in what we're doing. And this goes back to your first question. I think most sellers think that when this recession is over, and surely it will be, slowly perhaps, but it will be, and business will be robust yet again at some point in the future, they think that this is what's affecting their business, and it is. But the primary thing is this new generation of new experts. That's what's affecting your business. So if you don't think like a buyer today, if you think like a seller, you must make the transition to thinking like a buyer, thinking like your buyer and understanding him or her and be able to sell her. When you do that, you will really understand it. And there are really four moments that you can persuade that purchaser to buy from you, not your competitor.
All right, well, let's tear into that. We're talking to Robert Bloom, everybody, author of the book, The New Experts, Win Today's Newly Empowered Consumers at Their Four Decisive Moments. You just mentioned that there are four decisive moments. The first one is called the now or never moment. What is it, and how do we take advantage of it? What happens at this stage in the sales process?
The now or never moment is the first brief contact, usually today, by the internet. So you jump on three sites. Where is your finger when that's happening? It's on the delete button. So if there's nothing that grabs you, make that is compelling on that first site, you're gone instantly. If you phone a seller, and someone says, but can you hold a minute, and you hold and hold and hold, what do you do, Billy?
You hang up. Move on, yeah.
And you move on. So this is almost an instantaneous thing. Now, these four decisive moments in the selling process, in all selling process, this is applicable to any product, service of any kind, are sequential. So the idea here is if you don't grab them at the now or never moment, you have no choice to get to the second, the third, or the fourth step at all. You're toast right there.
All right. Well, now, incumbent in all of that, what you're saying is the website is the most important tool here. But, you know, how can a business, either large or small business, be sure to select the right web designer that's going to hold those people's attention so you can get to steps 2, 3, and 4?
Well, this may sound heretical, but I don't think it's the website designer. Usually they're very technically qualified. I'm blessed with having a wonderful guy that does it, who I've never met, and he's in Canada, and we work remotely, as I do with all of the people who are kind enough to help me. So I think that the two worst people to design a website are the technical person and the boss, me or you if we're the bosses, because we don't always think like the buyer. So the whole point is that site has to be navigable quickly. It has to say at the very first moment of contact when you see that homepage, it has to say, look at me, buy me now, because it's an instantaneous situation.
Oh, that's great. We're talking to Robert Bloom, everybody, author of the book, The New Experts, Win Today's Newly Empowered Customers at Their Four Decisive Moments. Bob, we've got to have to break here for some commercials. When we come back, though, I want to pick it up with the decisive moments 2, 3, and 4 and go through that list together. And we'll be back after this short break.
And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
It turns the brains into guacamole.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bill Frank. You're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain right here on KKZZ AM 1400, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. You can also listen to us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. Today's theme is new things, and in this half hour, we're really talking about the new experts, the new consumers out there in the marketplace. And I've chosen a true expert in his own right to come on the show and talk about it. He is author Robert Bloom. He is also the former CEO of Publicis, one of the world's largest advertising agencies. We're talking about the new experts, Win Today's Newly Empowered Customers at Their Four Decisive Moments. And before we went to break, Bob, we had talked about the first decisive moment. So that was the now or never moment, where they look at your website. Most of that contact, as you say, is done over the internet. That brings us to moment number two, the make or break moment. What happens there? And tell us about customer engagement at this stage.
Okay, let me emphasize again, all of these four moments are highly perishable, and they are sequential. And so we've now been at the first brief contact moment, and now we're going through the lengthy transaction process. Now, many sellers think that a transaction is when someone signs the receipt or signs the contract or the cash register rings, but it's not. It is now, today, a very lengthy transaction process. And they're not part of the first part, which is the whole consideration phase, because I'm going to consider buying an X product. That will take me a long time, and I want to look at all the information and compare it, and there's so many sites today that permit you to compare absolutely everything. And the second aspect is, once I get through the consideration, I get to the negotiation phase. Years ago, you just ask the seller what the price was, he or she told you. Now, finally, that's a lengthy transaction process, and then finally, when you actually make that purchase, and that's a very perishable moment for the seller.
Well, give us some examples of customers that do well at this make or break moment.
The customers who do well are the people who've done their homework and who, in many instances, know more than the seller. And that's a sad commentary, but several years ago, when the business was booming, you could put up anything on and sell anything. And so I think a complacency set in among sellers. And I've worked with sellers all my life, and they're very smart people, but they have to today think like their buyers.
Gotcha. Now, this whole idea of customer engagement, how can you keep that going? Is that through blogs? Is that through constant contact with emails to these potential buyers? What are some tips and tricks that we can use at this stage?
Okay. After you've gone through the brief contact, after you've gone through the transaction process, you're in the third process, and that's when the customer is using the product or service. Interestingly, I'll give you two quick examples of my publisher, who is a publisher that I did not use previously. My publication date was September 1st. What did I get? An email congratulating me and a small gift, not expensive. You don't have to do that sort of thing that just says congratulations on this day. And I just arrived back in this country from Europe, and I opened a package, and there was a roll of stickers that I could put on my books that says autographed by the author.
Ah, cool.
This reminds me that how great the publisher is.
Right, and that is Clint Greenleaf and the Greenleaf Group. They are a good publisher, no question about that. All right, so that's good. Now, that's the keep or lose moment, the third step. What's the fourth decisive moment that companies have to keep in mind in regards to these new experts?
It's called a multiplier moment, because that's when you get repeat purchase. That's when you get advocacy. Billy, I ate at a great restaurant the other day. You should go in there. Wonderful ravioli. And then you get referrals. There are many businesses who literally live on referrals, and frankly, there are many businesses that don't, who should be living on referrals, because they don't know how to ask for the referral. I spent a lot of time in my book suggesting how each seller can ask for a referral, can stimulate advocacy. So the idea of these four steps is, you got to get through the first one to get to the second one to get to the third, and the fourth is basically the gold mine. That's when you get paid off. Therefore, you can bring that seller, that purchaser, right back again to you. And while they won't be loyal, what they will be is they would prefer you. So what you want to do is to create customer preference at each one of these moments. That's what you can do, and I tell people how to develop customer preference in my book.
Oh, that's great. We're talking to Robert Bloom, everybody, author of the book, The New Experts, Win Today's Newly Empowered Customers at Their Four Decisive Moments. We've just gone through the four decisive moments. Bob, now we're going to do something that I call quick fire. We do this with a lot of our guests. I'm just going to rattle off the names of some companies, and you give me a grading in your opinion based on how they do against your four decisive moments. The first company, Apple.
Fantastic. I mean, they have a nation of loyal customers, and they understand what business therein very clearly. Some people are born with this, Billy, and Steve Jobs is born with that. He really understands how to build a nation of loyal customers, and he does have loyal customers, one of the very few.
Absolutely. They would call themselves evangelists, I think, over at Apple. All right, the second company on my list, General Motors.
Well, General Motors yesterday it was one of the poorest in the entire world. This goes back to my comment earlier that four out of people, five people 30 years ago, but the same brand, and one out of five today. Shame on the car makers, from Toyota and all the way through. If you have someone's name, you have their address. And let me just underscore, that's the most precious thing you can have. And if on your site you're not capturing that email address immediately, that's something you've got to fix. So I would give them an extremely low grade, but I would give all of the brands a low grade for maintaining their customers while they're using that product and reminding them how much they can enjoy that product.
Interesting. I'm going to stay in the automotive industry, Bob, and I'm going to ask you about BMW.
Well, BMW is a great client of mine. They really understand their customer, and they understand their business. They built a business and own a business that is very focused on one customer, and that customer is a customer who loves the driving experience. And I had one of their senior executives say to me, you know, Mr. Bloom, we could make our car quieter. We could make it shift easier. What we want to do is sell our brand and to someone who wants to have a driving experience. We have no interest in making it chic. Now, if it becomes chic, as BMW has, that's fine. But our goal is not that. It's to sell someone who wants a driving experience. And they really focus on that.
Very interesting. Now, here's one that's a little off the beaten track, and that is FAO Schwarz. And for my listeners who don't know, FAO Schwarz is probably the number one toy retailer in New York City, and at one time was the world. How would you rate them in regards to working with the new customers?
Well, not as well as they used to do it. Many, many years ago, when you went into FAO Schwarz, you know, this is an impulse business. You want to get your kid or grandkid a gift, and their products are generally more expensive than anybody's, and some well deserved. So each salesperson had to keep his sales book. I know this is an anachronism because nobody has sales books anymore. You've got computers underneath their arm as they were walking around the store. So what they did at that time was, as you got the excitement to bring Billy Jr. your $50 toy or a $500 toy, before that moment passed, that book was pulled out and that customer was signed up right then and there. And so now they aren't nearly as competent in getting that impulse purchaser to make that a buyer very, very quickly.
We're talking to Robert Bloom, everybody, author of the book, The New Experts, and we're really talking about the new empowered customer that is out there. And I'm going to shift gears here just a little bit, if I can, Bob, and talk about luxury goods, because you would think at the top of the food chain, at the top of the pyramid there, the luxury goods manufacturers would understand this. But with the proliferation of brands worldwide, consumers have more choice from lots and lots of different vendors. Luxury good marketers really have extended their product lines to make them affordable for all income levels. And you can see somebody walk into Costco with a Louis Vuitton bag, you know, that they may have even bought it there at Costco. You know, how do these luxury manufacturers maintain their luxury status and also their cachet of the brand?
They do it in two ways. One is always the product. The product is everything, assuming that there's a product. When I say a product, it could be a service as well. But if you don't have a product that performs and that performs exceedingly well and is different, I would argue that the most important factor in any competitive situation is to be different. You don't have to be bigger. You don't have to be better, but you do have to be different. So they, the first thing they have to do is to differentiate their brand by their product itself. And the second is their service orientation. I live in New York. My wife will go to Bergdorf Goodman from time to time, and she's got salespeople who call her, email her, phone her, and to say to her, we've got a new shipment in, we've got this, did you like that? Did your husband like that dress that you had on? Did you enjoy yourself at that party? Did you get a lot of compliments? Those are the kinds of things that really great luxury marketers will do all the time, stay in touch with their customers and make them feel great about their experience at their store.
We're talking to Bob Bloom, everybody, author of the book, The New Experts. And now, you've got lots and lots of experience with multinational companies, big, big mega brands. Unfortunately, living here in Ventura, we don't have any of those mega brands. We do have a couple of large companies. But let's bring it down to the size of business that we have here in town. And let me just throw out the type of business, and you can tell me how you apply your four decisive moments to this small business. And I'm just going to take a really mundane thing, an automotive transmission repair shop.
Well, again, the first thing is that you have to understand you're in a highly competitive market, but everybody is. So you can't whine and cry about that. What you have to do is to find a point of differentiation. In my first book, which is called The Inside Advantage, I argue that every business has something inside it. A way of working, a way of thinking, something that's usually undiscovered or frankly underutilized, but maybe even it just hasn't been found and nourished and made bigger. So what you want to do if you're this automotive repair shop is spend a few hours, half a day if you can, with some smart people in your company or outside to your company, and go to one or two of your best customers. Charlie, why do you come to me all the time? They'll tell you. And what you want to do is to find that inside advantage and exploit it. And so that's what that automotive repair shop has to do. They have to be different, and they have to do everything around that difference. Not about a lot of different things, about that point of difference all the time. And you've got one. Whoever you're listening to out there, you have an inside advantage in your business. I've never seen one that doesn't.
Wow. That's good insight, and that's great advice for any business owner that's listening to the sound of our voice. Bob, when you're doing the research for the book, The New Experts, Win Today's Newly Empowered Customers at Their Four Decisive Moments, what was the biggest or most remarkable insight that you found in doing the research for this book?
It is how unaware both the sellers and the buyers are of what's going on. Obviously, the buyers are much more aware of they're doing it, but the lack of understanding of how quickly, how perishable each of these moments is just an astounding situation. I mean, once again, we talked about it earlier. How can you put somebody on hold, ask them to hold, when they can hang up and phone three other people within the next 60 seconds? And so it's astounding to believe that that sellers in particular, but the both parts of the equation, sellers and buyers, really don't understand this monumental generational change. Let me just put it this way. 2,000 years ago, there were sellers and buyers. The seller was in control, and the seller was in control for the last 2,000 years. Now it's shifted. The buyer is in control, and the buyers, many of them understand it, and more of them are going to understand it. So that was the most astounding thing to me is, you know, this is a surprise. Why is it a surprise? Something you should have known.
We're talking to Robert Bloom, everybody, the author of the book, The New Experts. It's available everywhere, Amazon, all your local bookstores, as well as the national chain. Bob, I can't believe how quickly time has flown. Thank you so much for being our guest today here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. Coming up next is Leading Your Inspired Life with Susan Burrell. We'll talk to you tomorrow.